Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Want to talk about the Giants coming back. West Virginia for, what, week and a half, 2 weeks tops, whatever it was. And they are coming back. And this team, the only real thing that came out of training camp for me was that the offense looked like it was struggling early on and the defense was winning most of those battles, which you would expect. But, you know, health has been great for them. John Harbaugh's had examples where he had to tell Jackson Dart to chill because he had a taunting penalty and then he didn't want to have a 50-yard extra point to win a game. So there's been some teaching moments in there and things seem to be going swimmingly. We still have all the questions about the team that we have, but it's been a relatively quiet camp for them so far.
Which is good, which is, I'm sure John Harbaugh wants that. And remember, when they're installing a new offense, new quarterback, new offensive play caller, a lot of new players around each other that haven't played together, you know, in game time situations, same thing with the Jets for that matter, the defense is going to win early on in these situations. Because a defensive player can make a mistake and still have a positive impact on a play.
Yeah.
Where an offensive player makes a mistake, it usually costs the team a play. So there's a lot more going on offense than there is on defense in terms of timing, communication, understanding the offense. Did he get all the play call right? You know, did he make it an adjustment at the line of scrimmage that somebody didn't hear? You know, these are all things that, you know, are growing pains for an offense that's in its infancy with a young quarterback. You know, and the young quarterback wants to be great. He wants to show everybody he can do it, wants to be the leader. And at times, he's going to be overly aggressive, which is all normal stuff. There's nothing to be panicked about or worry about because, you know, they'll have their preseason games. And then, you know, when I look at the Giants' schedule, I think, you know, just to be fair, assuming they stay healthy and Malik Nabers comes back and he's going to be the 100% player and impact player that he is, you know, I look at their opening schedule. I think they can get the 3-2 or 4-1 if you really want to, you know, be aggressive about it. And if they get off to a good start and they get some momentum going, you know, then, you know, all of a sudden when their schedule turns to be a little bit tougher, you know, they'll be battle tested and they'll be ready to go. I think the Jets, on the other hand, you know, everybody is expecting the Jets. And I'm telling the Jet coaching staff this right now, just to understand, guys. Mm-hmm. Everybody expects you to beat the crap out of Tennessee week one in Tennessee. Good luck. That ain't going to be that easy.
No.
None of these games are easy.
Well, you really think that that's an expectation?
I do. I 100% do, because then when you look at the next three games, they go against the NFC North.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo. All three of those teams are all playoff-bound teams at the beginning of this season.
And two of them on the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know that's a rough stretch. I love the way that the Giants' schedule lays out. I do not like the way the Jets' schedule lays out.
Well, I mean, the Jets do have Cleveland. They have Miami twice. They got Las Vegas, you know, but Arizona late in the season. And then every other team that they're playing against right there, they're going to be underdogs.
They cannot slip up against the bad teams on that schedule because they play bad teams. They play teams that are worse than them on paper. And if this team's going to look anything like it's turning the corner, those are the games they cannot lose. They cannot lose either game to the Dolphins. They cannot lose to the Cardinals. I don't know. I didn't get the same sense as you did that Tennessee was, you know, that the Jets were going
to. Oh, it's Rob Saleh. It's Cam Ward. We ass. You know, the whole thing. And, you know, it's Brian Daboll down there. I know the offense is going to be better. I know it's not good. I think it's going to be a top half of the NFL offense. Wow. Whether it be a top third, I don't know, but a top half at least. What I don't know about is how good this defense is going to be. Now, they added some very significant veteran players that are going to help and will make communication on defense a lot better than it was last year. And if there's a problem that Aaron Glenn is going to have is that if this defense doesn't improve significantly with him calling the defensive plays and that's his superpower,
yeah.
Those are his words, not mine.
Yep.
That's not going to bode well with anybody.
And one of the things that we had speculated about during the coaching change carousel that was going on in the offseason was when the Wink Martindale stuff was going on, that maybe, and this was speculation, but Wink comes with a price tag as well, that maybe, you know, Woody Johnson or Darren Mugi or both were like, listen, you're here because you're a great defensive guy. We're paying you a significant amount of money. You need to figure this out as opposed to bringing in another high-priced defensive guy.
Well, you brought in a high-priced offensive guy.
Yeah.
So they didn't want a high-priced offensive guy and a new high-priced defensive guy when you just fired half your staff.
Yeah.
And you're still paying them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the owner starts saying, like, we're not doing stupid stuff. We're not spending money just to spend it. You know, you want a new coordinator. You need a new offense coordinator. Here's the money to go get him. Go get him. Get some of his coaches with him. And let's get it right on offense. I'm paying you money. You were a defense coordinator in Detroit. You handle the defense. And that's exactly what I'm telling you. It's not Darren Mugi. It's Woody Johnson.
Titans are a 3-point favorite right now, all the way when we're talking about week one. Now, I understand it's a month away, but they are a 3-point favorite. Yeah, I mean, you think Saleh probably has some bad feelings about the Jets organization.
Oh, you think?
He's a guy that I can't necessarily get a read on him half the time because, sometimes he's this real quiet guy and sometimes he's this big, fiery dude. I'm not sure, but he's got to definitely... He's that message to these guys is going to be this team and that owner screwed me over and I want to kill them and we need to send a message with this team.
Of course, they all feel that way.
Yeah, well, not all of them.
Yeah, they do.
Nah, there's guys who like their old teams. Like, Harbaugh doesn't feel that way about Steve Bisciotti.
Yeah, but I think it's a 20-year run. I mean, that's a totally different set of circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, a 20-year, and I don't know, did Rob Saleh want Zach Wilson as a draft choice? And by the way, this Terry and Arnold thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he is getting arraigned in Tampa tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he's meeting with the Giants. He met with the Seahawks. And when you look through all of the stuff that has been written about this case, I mean, it's ugly. It is really ugly. And they have him tied to this kidnapping situation via electronic devices, group chats. And they've arrested people who have actually turned evidence against him.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, and we said it at the time, it sounded very similar to the O.J. Simpson thing, but O.J. Simpson was there, not the murders of the two people, his wife and Goldman.
It's
not
the memorabilia
that.
Stuff
the
in
memorabilia
Vegas.
When he went to go get his stuff and the threatening and the whole thing and the weapons, and then he ended up getting thrown in jail for that. It's very similar to that, but... OJ was present for that issue. Terry and Arnold was not. However, every piece of evidence that allegedly they have is tying him to hiring these guys, telling these guys what to do to get his stuff back. And obviously they took it to a level where multiple felony charges have been levied against him.
Just so people remember what this was all about, police say more than $250,000 worth of property was reported stolen from an Airbnb Arnold rented in Largo. Arnold allegedly suspected two men of taking it. Investigators later concluded that those men were not responsible for taking anything. Then came the luring of the victims. And that's where prosecutors allege Arnold and co-defendant Bokaya Hilton directed two women to contact one of the suspected men and entice them to their apartment under the pretense of a sexual encounter.
Hey.
Then there's live video. Police say one of the women streamed the assault to Arnold and others while Arnold was traveling toward the apartment. Then there's a group chat. Investigators say that they recovered a group chat containing all of the defendants and that Arnold and Hilton gave directions to people at the apartment while the assault was occurring.
Yeah, so why would these teams expect him to be available to play?
I don't know. They say the court filings say Ariana Del Valle gave sworn testimony that right. Arnold was present when the plan to lure the victims was devised.
We got it. It was a bunch of stuff.
But what I'm saying, like, if you read this, why would an NFL team even go down this road? Unless NFL security or somebody has done some really, you know, deep digging and has contacted the Tampa police force or the prosecutor's office to find out whether or not any of this is accurate.
Well, not only that, but how long it's going to take for him to, I mean, he gets arraigned, you know, there's going to be a bond set. What's that going to be like?
Well, the way he's already out on $1 million bond.
Oh, he's already out on that. Okay.
Yeah, he's out all on right. that. You know, now Arnold's physical present, the allegation doesn't say that he was the one that was committing
these things,
but what they're saying is that he may have been one of the ones that was organizing this.
Well, clearly, that's what the evidence is saying, the police are saying. But we don't know what his side is saying.
Right. So, and just to button this up, it does say that the prosecution's theory appears to depend heavily on the electronic communications plus cooperating witnesses.
Okay. Which is people who flip. Right?
Yeah, 100%.
Couple flippers.
I don't know. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's a really nasty look.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, who knows what the actual truth is. Tarian knows what the actual truth is. Maybe his agent knows a little bit more than is publicly out there. And I would think that the due diligence by the NFL teams and the NFL itself would include, if they could, get some sort of information out of either the prosecutor's office down there or the police department.
Yeah, your situation at cornerback has got to be pretty bad to want to go down this road.
At this moment, right now, I mean, like, all of this stuff's alleged.
Yeah.
And it still has to be proven in a court of law, and he still has to, you know, go in front of a judge, and I don't know, I'm assuming a jury trial. And if people are flipping on him and talking about him, then it's probably not a great look.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
If you really want to say what the best possible situation for the Jets' future is in 2026, it would probably be losing every single game. I agree with Gordon on that. Time out now.
You know,
I agree with that.
I'm not rooting for that for my buddy, man. I want them to win.
I'm not saying you should.
I want them to put up some numbers. I want them to have a great.
I want them to win too, because it'll be a lot more fun during the season. That's not the point.
But still, three first round picks next year. That's a boatload for whoever ends up with the first overall pick. I mean, it's a boatload. You can go up there and go get it if you want it. I mean, that's not what they're thinking, though.
But that's not what I'm saying.
I'm not saying they're thinking it.
I'm not saying that I'm rooting for it. I'm not saying you're rooting for it. I'm saying, though, that to me, the argument of that the best thing for the future of the Jets may be them being the worst team in the league this year. I believe that.
I'm telling you, they're not going to be.
Well, that's too bad. You know,
I think the Cardinals and the Dolphins, I feel like, have a lock on those two spots.
Yeah, I would agree. But then again, you know, I thought the Saints were going to be horrendous last year.
Better. But what happened for them is that Tyler Shuck showed up. Remember, Spencer Rattler was the starter at the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden, Tyler Shuck went in there and he basically blew away everybody down there. He outplayed what everybody thought he was capable of, and now he's the unquestioned leader of the New Orleans Saints. And a lot of people have them winning the NFC South.
Yeah, which would be an amazing turnaround in year two for Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck.
And that would be a last-place team to a first-place team.
Yeah, which we always see in the NFL. But yeah, I do think the Jets will be better. I also think that if they do lose week one, it could slip away pretty quickly with the pressure on Aaron Glenn and just the overall Jet poop avalanche that they deal with all the time.
Well, the interesting thing was watching Tennessee last night. And watching Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Now, again, give him four quarters to get into a game. You never know. He could have three bad quarters and then the fourth quarter turn into Brett Favre. You know what I'm saying? And or John Elway, for that matter. But, he got off to a bad start, which, you know, probably bodes pretty well for the Jets, although it also may raise some red flags for Brian Daboll down there calling plays for him.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I want to read into it in a positive way for the Jets, but I mean, it still is the first game action of a new offense.
Right here, for them. And here's the thing. So you have a second year quarterback, kind of like Jackson Dart here in New York, learning new terminology, new offense. They drafted that wide receiver, in the first round.
Yep.
He's young. They've never played together. This is the first time, they're going to be out on the field. I mean, there's so much uncertainty when it comes to, relationships with players on the field. The good thing for the Jets, at least, they do have a seasoned 35-year-old quarterback. They do have a seasoned play caller who was a head coach, who was in the Super Bowl calling plays. I mean, like, he played in the Super Bowl four times with the Bills. I mean, like, he's been around. He knows what's going on. So that's the one thing the Jets have going for them. At least they're dealing with older, and certainly Kate Klubnik is not that. He's the rookie that's trying to learn on the fly. But at least the Jets go into it, I think, with a more seasoned and a more experienced team.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I also, I don't dislike Rob Saleh and Brian Daboll. I actually really like Brian Daboll a lot, and Rob Saleh was good to us when we went out to Jets camp. Nice guy. But the takes on these guys drive me crazy, and that's why I'm rooting against them. Honestly, it is. Like, the fact that Rob Saleh was some sort of prize hire for the Tennessee Titans because it was just – now, we've been as critical of the Jets organization as anybody else, so I fully understand it. But the fact that, it was just the Jets. He got swallowed up by the Jets, and it was Aaron Rodgers getting hurt and all of that. There were so many things that Rob Saleh did that were super unimpressive to me as a head coach. And Brian Daboll, who got off to a great start, could never figure it out after that.
His quarterback was hurt all the time.
Fine. Great. That's awesome. You know, I can give you a ton of examples of other teams that still find a way to be competitive without healthy quarterbacks. When he was a coordinator, man, Brian Daboll with Josh Allen. Josh Allen only got better after Brian Daboll left.
And plus, Josh Allen is a special talent.
Yeah. And so I just.
So having, players still win games, man. You still got to have talent.
No, I understand. It's just that, Rob Saleh and Brian Daboll teamed up together to go down to Tennessee. That's going to be amazing. Like, what? Why? And I've heard that from multiple people that Rob Saleh, because after 1 year of going back as the 49ers defensive coordinator, all of a sudden had as much hype around him as he did the first time he was available to be a head coach when the Jets hired him. And somehow all the things that Brian Daboll did wrong here evaporate into the air because he's an offensive coordinator again. And we found out all this stuff after Brian Daboll was fired about discipline and how he wasn't handling situations right.
It sounded like the previous three coaches, after Tom Coughlin.
Yeah,
Tom Coughlin. Remember, he was too hard, and Tiki and Michael Strahan had to go sit down with him and have a powwow.
That's right.
Hey, listen, man, you got to back off, man.
Like, yeah, chill out.
That's where the softness started.
Sure.
That's where all this stuff like you got to take care of us started. But they ended up going to the Super Bowl twice. So whatever they said to him, it seemed to work, and he seemed to react to it.
Mm.
You know, but and usually what happens, you have this hard ass coach. And the next thing you do is you go out and get another coach after that, and it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's always, yeah, back and forth, and
then,
back and forth.
Know, right, and then the, really the disappointing thing about the Brian Daboll situation, depending on how it played out, and we don't really know accurately all the things that happened, you know, is with Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, like the fact that, you know, Kafka had to stop, you know, basically sat him down for a quarter against the Patriots, and everybody was shocked that that happened. And then Kafka basically said, well, you have to go ask him after the game. You know, like essentially after the game, just go, you can go talk to him. It's more of a disciplinary situation. And then they put him on the hot seat. And then from that point on, he seemed to be more engaged and was a better player. And hopefully he comes back after this offseason and he is highly motivated to have a great season.
Yeah. Yeah,
this
sure.
should be a huge jump for Abdul Carter. It should be.
That would be awesome. And that defense has got so much potential. Obviously, the secondary lacking a little bit on paper. But if the pass rush is what the pass rush is supposed to be, then that's going to help out that secondary in a big way. But yeah, week one, I am going to be all in on the Jets. Not saying I'm guaranteeing that they're going to win, but I'm going to be rooting like crazy in week one. For them,
just because
of this whole Rob Saleh, you know, oh man, he's going to be the greatest head coach now that he's got experience, you know, going through the Jets and going back to be a defensive coordinator. I don't like his tenure here. He felt super unprepared.
You know, it's amazing when he signed as the head coach. His offensive coordinator was a rookie offensive coordinator. Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, it was Mike LaFleur,
right?
Because his best friend is Matt LaFleur, and it's all a big circle. You know what?
Yeah, NFL. Right. Exactly. So. After 1 year, I think it was 1 year, right? He was here 1 year, and then they let him go.
Yeah, then they had to go out and get Nate
Hackett. And he went to the Rams, and he learned under, you know, Sean McVay. And where's Mike LaFleur now?
You know, he's the head coach of what's going to be the worst team in football.
Exactly. But really, the point being is that I think going through the Jet experience actually helps coaches. I actually believe it helps coaches.
Well, the only one that's come out of it recently and done relatively well has been Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
And, you know, he ended up being a coordinator under Arians and then getting promoted. So
he's been lucky. At least he's had a legitimate presence at quarterback. He had Tom Brady that first year, and then now he's got Baker Mayfield. You know, and Baker's a little bit up and down, a little bit inconsistent, a little bit of a maniac, you know, and gets a little crazy towards the end of games. But still, he is a presence at quarterback, which
yeah.
is what every team wants. At least they know who their guy is, and they know he's a tough guy. They know he's got a little hiccup in him here and there, but he's still a personality. I would say he's a top 15 guy in the league. I don't know if they'll come to a contract negotiation finally with him. I'm sure they're talking about trying to extend him, but maybe they have their eye on this quarterback class of 2027.
Without a doubt.
They could. Which would make Baker Mayfield free for next year.
Interesting. But they'd also have to have a bad season or trade a lot to get up to the
top. I remember when they were coming out, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, I said, if the Jets could get either Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, that would be the guy. But that would be the guy that could handle New York. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe Geno came back.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, the Jets next year go after Baker Mayfield if, in fact, he's a free agent. If they don't like any of the quarterbacks with their draft picks next year.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
That would be very much interesting.
Al, you're on it with the music, but I got to take issue with your show sheet today. I got a call by somebody, one of the higher-ups yesterday.
Yeah.
And they heard us talking about, you know, Stella Lefty. And this higher up said to me, who writes your show? Like, who's the writers on your show?
The writers.
The writers.
The writers' room.
Right. And I did want to respond, like, you know, just look at the payroll. And you'll see how many writers we have. We have like 50 writers down here working for us. So,
And by the way, some people actually believe that.
Yes.
Like who writes the show for you? Nobody. It's just we empty out our brain every day, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your show sheet, you know, trying to get some ideas. I mean, like, give us a parameter of things that are going on in the sports world. And then I see that Francisco
Mendoza
on the Las Vegas Strip It's like a boogeyman. A lot of people talk about the Strip like you don't want to go there. Francisco Mendoza.
Francisco Mendoza.
Dude, who is Francisco Mendoza?
I must have got confused with Francisco Lindor and Fernando Mendoza.
Oh, right.
That happens Fernando. All the time.
No, just the names, yeah.
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 So this is why we don't have writers.
Francisco Mendoza said.
Jerry said to me when I said it this morning, he goes, who?
Right.
Just some guy, actually. That's the story. That's a funny part of the story. It's not actually Fernando Mendoza. It said it was just some guy, Francisco Mendoza, on the street.
Yeah, not the Raiders.
No. Just some guy hanging out. He was on local news, Francisco Mendoza. But it's not like a lot of people know who he is. He only won the national championship and was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. So you got to give him a pass on that, right?
No, I'm not giving him a pass on that.
Oh, and he won the Heisman, too. That's right. That's the other thing.
And then I see that you also have Jalen Brunson's going to be making a special SUV appearance or SVU appearance.
Yeah, Mariska.
Yes.
Agarity.
Oh, my God. Mariska Hargitay.
Right. We only said her name 1,000 times during the Knicks playoffs.
Well, that's when he was on suicide watch, so he probably didn't hear much of the show. Yeah, it's Mariska Hargitay and Fernando Mendoza.
Yes.
So we had two rough ones this morning.
Okay. Very difficult.
To get here, there's a show sheet, and I'm like, how does he know?
Huh?
What?
Yeah.
It's a little over the top.
Ryan in Lynbrook. What's going on, Ryan?
First, like to say, boom, are you sure that you want that to be the gentleman that's going to be welcoming you to the, what is it, what Hall of Fame?
The Radio Hall of Fame, yes, I actually do, and I'm hoping he makes the same amount of mistakes that night as he's making, you know, every day here at WFAN.
And,
be great.
Secondly, I had a buddy over at South Nassau, just got out of a pretty, in-depth surgery. He's got you guys on, and all he wanted was for some love from the boys. Bobby Mitchell's his name, and he's listening.
All right, Bobby. Well, listen, man, here's your love on a feel-good summer Friday. Keep fighting through it and get out there and enjoy the rest of the summer. Glad to hear that you're on the mend and you got great friends like Ryan. Good friends are an important thing in life, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I've
surrounded by great friends.
I've lost a couple over the last couple of years.
Of course you went there.
Yep. And yeah, of course I did. But this is why it's always more important, you know, to spend more time with your friends.
Yes, indeed.
You got to be out there. You got to be on the golf course. You got to be.
Indeed.
Hanging out. Having a couple cocktails.
Mm.
Hitting that ball down the middle of the fairway.
Yeah.
Nothing quite like it.
Mm. Yeah, I will say because I'm an only child. The friends to me meant even more because I didn't have like a brother or sister to have like a bond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like having a best friend meant more to me, I felt like, than someone with many siblings.
Well, I'm your best friend.
Debatable.
It is?
Well, I'm not your best friend.
What do you mean?
Like if you were to say.
I spend more time with you than anybody else.
But that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but we spend a lot of time off the air together as well.
That's true.
So I used to have a best friend that I spent a lot of time off the air with. He left me. And now I have a new best friend.
I think your best friend is Frank Reich.
He's one of my base in the inner circle.
Yeah, I think he's your best friend.
Inner circle guy, definitely.
100%.
You're right there.
Well, like, thank you, and you're right there in mine, too, but I can't quite say. Like, the people you've known for
40 years.
40, it's just tough to... To crack that.
Yeah, you've made an indelible mark, though.
Let's go to John in Wantagh. What's going on, John?
Hey, Boomer, just a quick question. Aren't you more known now to being a broadcasting Hall of Famer than an NFL MVP?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, probably.
Because they do that promo with you and Tiki that says NFL MVP.
Well, they got to remind people. They're just trying to remind people, John, you know?
No, I know, but you're a broadcasting Hall of Famer. You've been doing this 20 years. You was in football for what, 10, 12 years?
And you've 14, been out of football 14 since... years.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, get it right.
You've been out of football.
You just like Al Dukes, a little wrong here, a little wrong there, and it starts adding up to a lot wrong.
Homer, I'm 55.
Yeah.
I got severe problems from combat. What do you want me to do, bro?
All right, don't hit me with that. That's not fair.
Hey, Boomer.
Listen, I hope you're doing okay. Thank you for your service. Yes, you know, I mean, God almighty.
I can't remember
you
anything.
On a Feel Good Friday.
John, thank you and all the best to you. And thank you for your service as well. It never fails, right? Never fails. I don't know how many times that you go back at a caller in a week. Very rarely.
Right.
And the one time you do, he fights back with, well, I've got a lot of injuries and issues from combat.
Think he's got a nub?
He may. He said it was more memory related.
Okay.
Just like the time I was trying to be nice. I'm not sure that you were here that day. Actually, you weren't. And nice gentleman calls up. Jerry was talking about he had issues with his golf swing. This older gentleman says, I could fix your golf swing. So I say to the guy, hey, you just gave Jerry a tip. Jerry can give you a tip. How's your prostate? The guy goes, I don't have one. Lost it to cancer.
Oh.
Never
fails.
Fails.
Yeah.
Ever.
Try to do a right thing.
Right.
So, and Jerry's a big prostate guy around here. He's got that concoction that he drinks every day.
So that's what I was doing. I was saying, this. How nice would this be? This is an older gentleman probably having a prostate issue, getting up in the middle of the night. He gives Jerry a tip. Jerry could repay the favor. Nope. Should have never asked. It is a 100% conversion rate on those things. 100%. We were talking about the movie Ladybugs.
Right.
When we were talking the WNBA stuff when you were out as well.
Okay.
So you know the movie Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield?
Yes.
And yeah, he makes a boy, a girl, to win the soccer thing, which was ahead of its time back then.
You think the NBA is going to be doing WNBA is going to be doing it?
At some point, probably. And then... At the end of it, the conversation, Jerry goes, hey, Al, get the main star from Ladybugs on the phone and laughs. That guy killed himself.
Oh, come on.
It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It is 100% conversion rate on these things.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
I think everybody out there knows I'm not a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
But I mean, they are fun to watch compared to what the Mets are doing. And I have to say that, you know, who needs Judge? Who needs Stanton? Who needs Bellinger? I mean, you got Jones, you got Grisham. I mean, you got all these young players, Lombard. I mean, this is what culture is for a team. I mean, I don't know how many times I got to say it, but they expect to win. They put that uniform on. They go out and they do their thing. Maybe there's a couple guys that, soil the uniform every now and again. But I will say that it's just amazing what they're doing. And you can't complain about how they're winning, what they're doing, who's participating, who's managing them, who is general managing them, what their pitching staff looks like, what their bullpen looks like. And they're doing this without three of their most important offensive players. And, you know, I wish my team could do this. I wish a team that I rooted for who were missing three of their best players can still remain relevant and still win. Now, I know that they are, six games behind the Tampa Bay Rays who continue to win. I think they're in the midst of sweeping the Athletics, but you know what? It's just, especially when you watch every night, Yankee Stadium is full. It is full every night. I mean, and I can understand why they want to, you want to say they want to sell a piece of it. It's more complicated than that. The amount of money that they're bringing in and what they're getting from private equity and how they're restructuring debt and things of that nature. It's a completely different set of circumstances. But on the baseball field, I mean, and for guys like Trent Grisham, who for whatever reason, and I understand that the lack of production is significant, but when you're missing all of these guys in a lineup, that puts undue pressure on a guy like him, and he comes through last night. It's great to see.
Yeah, and if you want to juxtapose what's going on with the Yankees or what's going on with the Mets, one thing that I really like from a Mets perspective of what's going on with the Yankees is they're not making any excuses, and they continue to do... Listen, their offense has been rough at times, but they're finding ways to win. They're not completely out of it. They've lost key players more than just about anybody in baseball, and they're still right there. So if I hear one excuse about, well, we had all these injuries this year from David Stern, Steve Cohen, or anybody else in that organization, go screw. Look over there, and I don't know if they're going to win a World Series or not, but look over there and see how they battled through, found ways to do it, off-season moves that they did or did not make, put this team in a position to still compete at a high level opposed to being one of the worst teams in the game for an entire season when they were for a half a season last year.
You know, it's really amazing when you think about it. We are in the dog days of August baseball season. And it's just every day, every day, every day, more games, another game. I mean, just never stops and it never ends. And, you know, there's criticism that gets thrown around. You know, we're acting like these are the Kansas City Royals or we're the San Francisco Giants or the New York Mets who are horrendous. Meanwhile, they just keep plugging along, and they do it with a lot of young players, their own players. They made a couple moves at the trade deadline. Everybody was unhappy that they didn't get a catcher. Austin Wells has actually had some impact here since the trade deadline as well. Ryan McMahon has a big hit last night. He's a light-hitting third baseman. I don't know. It's just what it is. It's just you got to appreciate what they're dealing with and the fact that they're still winning.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about these teams in town that can never get the stink off of them. And I know that the Yankees are not winning championships every single year, and it's been a long time. It's 2009 for the Yankee fan, and they get frustrated. But if we're talking about how, you know, teams and culture and you change things and things stay the same, and the Jets are one of those teams, and the Mets are one of those teams, and the Knicks for many years were one of those teams until they weren't, well, the Yankees are the opposite of that. There's been so many different guys that have been in the uniform. There's been consistency with the general manager and the manager of recent history. But yeah, they're always putting on that uniform, and there's a pride associated with it as opposed to what you see with a Jets organization, a Mets organization of how are they going to screw this up? How are they going to be the butt of the joke this time around? And the Yankees are just, they're a 180 away from that.
You know, and I think that they knew that they only had Juan Soto for a year. And, you know, they threw out $700 million. They knew that the Mets were going to go over that. And, you know, it just tried to make their fans realize that, hey, we offered this guy a lot of money. We knew that he was not going to take it. And then we used the excuse that we don't give sweets to our players. Mm. We don't add extra, goodies within their contracts. And that's fine. It's a good argument, I guess, to make. And it's the right argument to make. But they immediately pivot and they go get Max Fried. and they save, you know, what, about $400 million in that situation. So I don't know. It's just I wake up this morning and I just I feel like it's a reoccurring theme. And I know that the Yankee fan is a hard ass and wants to win championships. That's the expectations because they wear the pinstripes, you know. But they won a lot of they won a lot of games when they're like eight teams in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
championships and things of that nature. It's a lot harder these days, and you know, it's just really interesting when you listen to this radio station. You listen to Cuckmack, and he's talking about Yankees, and he's a very positive Yankee fan for the most part. But even he gets dragged into these arguments about getting rid of this guy, getting rid of that guy. You're in the middle of a season. You can't get rid of anybody. You're trying to hold on to everybody right now as best you can. And the last thing you need is another injury.
Well, obviously. Yeah, I mean, you need to get some guys back. Yeah.
I don't know. They spend, the second or third most money in the league, and they should be good. But when $100 million of that salary is sidelined, and you're still winning, and you're doing it with guys like Spencer Jones last night with a couple doubles, and Trent Grisham, and Lombard now at shortstop. What's he been here, 10 games?
Yeah, I mean, but the disconnect will come. Like, let's say the Yankees, so last year it was the Blue Jays who had the run in the AL East, and they should have won a World Series. The Dodgers get it, of course we know, and that was actually a really great World Series. But this year, if the Yankees prevail through all of this, get to the postseason, and run into the Red Sox and lose, or run into the Rays and lose, the Yankee fan is going to lose their mind, and it's hard to argue with that. But this is where the disconnect comes from with the fans and the organization, is the organization is going to say, all we do is deliver a winning product to you. It's all we do. We had all these hurdles, and we still were able to get there. We ran into a team that was healthier and better, and we're going to try to get there next year and beyond and dedicate to winning. And then the Yankee fans are going to be like, I'm so tired of this that I feel like you are good to a point, but then get beaten by a better team within your division sometimes, and maybe again this year, or the Houston Astros, and I'm sick of it.
I don't want to say that the Yankee fan is spoiled. That's not right. I would just say they have
expectations. Sure they are.
No, I'm saying they have expectations, and I think that sometimes those expectations are unrealistic. I mean, I would love to see a season in which, you know, both Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton could play 140 games. Yeah, I'd love to see that and see what that looks like.
Yeah.
But when you're missing, I mean, and I'm making the excuse. They're not making an excuse. You know? I mean, every now and then you may hear Brian Cashman saying, you know, we're missing a lot of our guys. And at the beginning of the season, they were missing a bunch of their pitchers. So now the pitchers are here, and eventually, hopefully, these guys are going to come back. And this is where I will side with the Yankee fan. This is where I will 100% side with the Yankee fan. Your $360 million captain, your $300 million DH, and I guess whatever Bellinger's making, probably about $30 million or something like that. I mean, those guys now, when they come back, they're going to be the ones that are going to be expected to carry this team to a World Series championship.
This Tony Romo story has gotten different and weird since the first time we talked about it. Now it seems like people who are covering the story that are media reporters believe that CBS could be using the situation with his OWI to get out of his contract because they perceive his performance to have dwindled from when he first burst onto the scene. Now, that is speculation at this point by those who cover this story and media reporters. I don't know that to be a fact, if that's what's going on. Obviously, you see that he's suspended indefinitely. I know that
it's a leave of absence, isn't it?
Well,
a leave, like he's out on leave, like they told him to get whatever your issues are.
Right. Yeah. Out. Okay. So, yeah, I guess the language does matter in that situation. And J.J. Watt has already been tabbed to sit next to Jim Nance. And there has been a lot of talk from the beginning about how, you know, Tony Romo first is, you know, bursts onto the scene, right time, right place, big contract. Performance hasn't matched that. And it now looks like a bad albatross contract. If there's a way they can get out of it, they would get out of it. But one thing I'll say, and I know that I cannot because I have to preface this by saying I don't feel like I need to say this, but every time something like this comes up, someone will inevitably call and say that we're defending the actions of somebody when I'm not. There is no excuse if Tony Romo was found to be drunk while he was driving. There is no excuse for that. I am not saying that he should get any sort of pass if he is found to have been drunk while driving. And we don't know for a fact. He failed the field sobriety test, but he didn't. There's no blood test out there. There's no breathalyzer or anything. But
an empty bottle.
Was it an empty? Was it empty?
I think so.
Well, yeah. You don't know when he drank. But that's another one of these things, though. Like, a lawyer could come in
and
say,
CBS is not doing this unless there's something significant attached to it. And there could be other things behind the scenes that we don't even know about.
Right. Of course. The only thing that I will say about it, and I don't have the full information, that if they would have stood by him if he was doing a good job and were going to honor that contract, to me, it doesn't, I know this is the way the world works, it just doesn't feel right to use something like this to get out of the contract if they don't think he's doing a good job.
Well, there also could be other financial pressures. You got to remember that CBS Paramount had been sold or has been sold to Skydance.
True.
Skydance is trying to acquire also the Discovery Channel,
yeah, or
Warner Brothers, whatever it is. And the NFL has every right to open up its contract with CBS because of the sale to Skydance. And, you know, I know Pro Football Talk has it. I've been talking to you about this for months and months and months, that there was a hope at CBS, I think, that they were hoping that the NFL wouldn't open up the contract right now. But the NFL can open up the contract once there is a new buyer of said network that did the original contract. And the NFL obviously opened the contract, and I'm sure that there's going to be a very large bump to be able to, for CBS to hold on to the NFL contract that they have. And I think that there are financial pressures here too, because I believe that CBS still owes Tony Romo, if he was an active participant, like over $50 million or close, yeah, to $50 million. So there are financial pressures as well that go into all these things that, you know, that have to be discussed by the powers that be at Skydance, and then, of course, David Burson at CBS Sports, who represents CBS Sports.
Sure. Originally, he didn't think, you know, CBS was going to have a comment on it, or there hasn't been much from them, obviously, about the, you know, not commenting a ton on it, but obviously they made some decisions, and...
But they have Media Day. You know, they also have the upfront,
which is coming up, like, today, isn't it?
No, I think the Media Day was yesterday.
It was yesterday?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, they introduced their teams, and again, Ian's going to have a new partner in Ross Tucker, who's really good at what he does, loves the game of football. He's a former Princeton football player. Know him really well from working with him on Westwood One.
Yeah.
On Monday nights, he did a lot of sideline stuff and now does games. So, you know, Ian's a unbelievable teammate. You know, I did those Army Navy games with him, mm-hmm, some Thursday night Westwood One football games. He could work with anybody.
So where do you think this ends? Is this the last we're going
to
see you?
If I had to guess, and it's purely speculation, given what's going on right now, I would think it's over.
Really? Okay.
Remember when they replaced Phil Sims with Tony Romo?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And they supposedly offered Phil like the third or fourth game.
Yeah, he didn't
and want that's to. That's, you know, that's an insult.
Yep.
You know, especially for a guy that worked for, you know, 20 years as your lead analyst and worked with a number of different play-by-play guys, including Jim Nance and off the tip of my tongue, the other guy he worked with, who unfortunately just passed away.
Greg Gumbel,
right. So, but what was great for us at the NFL today is that there was an open seat because Tony Gonzalez had left.
Right.
And I remember, you know, talking about putting Phil in that seat, and I thought it would be perfect. And I loved every minute of working with Phil in that seat.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It was awesome. And mm-hmm, it kept Phil from traveling, and he was able to stay right in the mix with all of us. And, you know, the pregame shows, they get laughed at and stuff, but they serve a purpose. They serve a sales purpose, first and foremost. And when there are really good games and controversial situations, they also serve a purpose, to point out things that we think that were screwed up.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because there's a bunch of people, you know, Mike Tomlin we talked about with Football Night in America, Russell Wilson getting an opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys end up doing. But I don't remember a ton of J.J. Watt last year.
Oh, he was good. He was really good. And, you know, and again, when you work with Ian, it's great.
Look at this behind-the-scenes footage of
us jamming food in our face.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Just was that at the game that we did?
Yeah, it was.
I wore his jersey.
And I had the headphones around my neck. Yeah, that was...
Three guys talking ball, right? Yeah. That's all we were.
Yep.
Just a couple of guys talking ball. But anyway, now I already forgot what I was going to say.
Well, J.J. Watt.
Oh, J.J. Watt. That's right. So J.J. Watt, and you thought... He did. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Listened to a bunch of other games last year. He's got a different perspective. He's a defensive lineman. He's got a very quick wit. Now he was working with maybe the guy who has the quickest wit in all of sports broadcasting, and Ian Eagle.
Sure.
And it's very easy to work with Ian. He just makes it easy for you. He brings out the best in you, and really will defer to your expertise. And you know, and Jim does the same thing. I've worked with Jim a couple times doing games.
Yeah.
And I had fun doing those games with him. So Jim will bring out the best in JJ. And JJ's a young, bright, you know, very opinionated.
Yeah.
Which I think will be good. And I think the fans will like him.
Do you get approached to do any games?
No.
Mike in Stony Brook, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, man. We're good. What's up?
Talking about Romo, and I don't think Watt's going to give him his job back. I think Watt's going to do. I've seen him a few times. He did a few Jet games last year. I think he does a great job.
He'll keep the job. Yeah, 100%.
He's the opposite. He's very likable. Romo always has that smug, you know, entitled grin on his face. This Watt's very likable.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One other question, if I may.
Yeah.
Thank you. The kid on that was on Fox, Tom Brady, took his job. That got really good reviews.
Greg Olson.
Is he in play in this?
No, he's a Fox guy. He's the number two guy at Fox.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just wondering if you could make the switch.
Thanks, Mike. It's funny when you go, you know, people are going to love J.J. Watt. People hate everything. So the more J.J. Watt that's going to be out there, the more people are going to have a problem with
him. Yeah, but I'm just telling you right now, J.J. Watt is extremely likable. His likability factor is... times 10, you know, and CBS knows that. They saw it when he did some NFL Today stuff with us and working with him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, listen, I understand, but...
And, you know, by the way, you know, the NFL Today thing, you know, can get very boring for these younger players who have made all this money flying to New York every week and sitting there for 12 hours watching all the games and going through all the minutiae that we would go through. But doing a game and going to a game is a completely different set of circumstances, and that's what really has gotten JJ engaged.
There's guys who do an amazing job at calling football games, and people will always have a problem with them. I mean, it's just the way that it is. You know, Joe Buck hates my team. Chris Collinsworth talks too much. John Gruden would say everybody was the greatest player ever. Tony Romo has that smug look on his face. It's just no matter who it is, it's just people are going to dislike him more than they're going to like him. Probably just because people complain on the internet.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you're a former Bengal and you're doing a Steeler game, the Steeler fans think you hate them.
Yeah, I'm not saying that J.J. Watt's not going to do a great job, and the informed people in the business will probably love him, and it'll be a great sales play and whatever the hell else. But when someone calls up and says, oh, the audience is going to absolutely love J.J. Watt, portion will, and then there'll be people that have a major problem with him, and they'll find something and go, oh, I can't stand this guy, blah, 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 blah. He hates my team. He's this, he's that, he's whatever. It's just, it's the way the internet works.
You know, one of these things that I feel like because the news cycle moves so quickly and then we beat things to death and then move on to the next thing, that I feel like at this stage is not getting as much attention as it should, is the fact that Steve Cohen said that David Stearns is 100% coming back next year. Like, I think about this all the time. Now, let's just assume, I can't talk in terms of the lockout or anything like that. Let's pretend there is a baseball season next year. And Steve Cohen said, we're going to see this contract out. But because, I mean, what he's done in the last year and a half, I don't think anybody has failed epically like this in a while from a general manager standpoint.
Well, especially with the amount of money that's been spent. Yeah.
And it was all the off season was all talked about. Stearns. All, then beginning of the season, they were terrible. And they've been bad for so long now. And then the Knicks have their championship run. The Yankees are still playing well. Now we're approaching football. So the Mets are like irrelevant. And I feel like now David Stearns, even though he got beat up for a good portion there in the offseason, beginning of the season, is now like getting a pass. And Steve Cohen just popped on with Heyman and Sherman and goes,
Yeah, we're going to see this out. He's going to be here next year. We're going to see this thing out.
I will say the one thing that he did do is he did get Juan Soto
for
the Mets, but it's not what, and I told you then, and I'll tell you today, and I'll tell you next year, the same thing. One of the reasons that Juan Soto was signed to the record deal that he ended up getting was because of the real estate play around Citi Field.
Yeah.
It was all about, you know, it's not only just about baseball. Of course it's about baseball, but it's also about political will that here I am spending money, trying to build a team and trying to make this a great place to come watch a baseball game with great baseball players. And therefore I want the downstate casino license. And it all is like intertwined. There's no question about that. So from that standpoint, I could sit here and say that Steve Cohen has been a success. The baseball side of things have been an unmitigated disaster the last 2 years, especially with the amount of money that they have spent. And I have said this over and over and over again.
So this is what I'm saying, right? Because I avoid the conversation because we've said it so much.
Yes.
But I also feel like we need to bring it up every now and again because this guy, I don't love just screaming about people's jobs. He gets paid a lot of money. He'd end up in another organization. He'd be fine. But like this, you could not do a worse job if you tried than what this guy has done.
Yeah, he's basically invested in the wrong people. Now, I will say there are a number of young players in this team that I do like.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they're getting an opportunity to show that they can belong here, like Zach Thornton. Like, this guy came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, you got Christian Scott, Nolan McLean, you got Ewing, you got Benj. I mean, you know, you have guys that, you know, have come up through the system, much like the Yankees have had guys that have come up through the system, that you're kind of like, I like watching them play. I like the way that they do play. It's unfortunate that, you know, the other guys that were brought here to do something to support the younger players just are not doing it, whether it be Francisco Lindor, he's average at best right now, and Juan Soto's on the bench, and the other guys that have come back, yeah, there's a moment here, a moment there. Bichette has his moment yesterday going 5-for-5, and it's nice to see that, and they win a series against a contending team, but it's just, you're right. The worst thing that a team can be is what you just said they were, and that is irrelevant.
Yeah, and I, like, just think about going through this season, it being as bad as it's been. I mean, they are a miserable wreck of a baseball team. And the consequence at the end of this is going to be what? That you fired Carlos Mendoza halfway through the season?
Yeah.
And everybody said that it was a sacrificial lamb spot. Like, what is the consequence for
this?
Well,
I think Steve Cohen said it himself. We said it when they were going to fire him. How much more are you going to put this man through, and how many more times is he going to have to give a press conference post-game about whatever, and it's going to sound the same as it did 3 weeks ago, which ultimately it did, and it was a mercy firing.
So they did that, and we all know it was a mercy situation. But what is the consequence for this season? Is there anything? Are we finally going to see the end of Beatty and Vientos? Do they consider going to Francisco Lindor and trading? Something has to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to have to do something
so
major.
Freaking horrible.
Yeah, they
and at least, it's just getting buried now.
Well, at least they have some good young players, all right, and good young pitchers. And hopefully those pitchers stay healthy and they continue to get better as they get older. But I just, you know, you got to believe that Juan Soto will be back next year. I do believe that Francisco, if they're going to trade him, they're going to trade him this offseason. And maybe that's what's needed, you know? Maybe it's good for Francisco, and it'll be good for the Mets.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd want to stay here with all this BS drama that's going on.
Right, you'd have to, you know, consult with Francisco's agent and sit down and say, look, you know what? Maybe it's just not working, and we have a team that's willing. Would he be willing to go there? And maybe it's a better spot for him. You know, you got to look at it from his perspective, too. I'm sure he loves playing for the Mets. I'm sure he does. It may not. We don't see the guy that we saw 2 years ago. That's for sure.
Yeah. And
we see somebody the last 2 years that looks to me like he's miserable here.
So it was last Wednesday. It was the last day I was on the air with Jerry before I took Thursday and Friday off. And like at 9:45 or 9:30, this story comes out about how Freddie Peralta it had to organize a meeting and a sit down between Soto and Lindor to hash out, you know, their differences. And, you know, Lindor said that a conversation happened. Soto said a conversation didn't happen. Peralta just gave you all the details on it. And I'm like, like, this is still going. And this happened back in June. Well, this is still going on between these two guys?
You know, which is amazing to me because, you know, is it because it's one is Puerto Rican and one is Dominican?
No, I think it has everything to do with what you've been saying, is that Lindor was here. He had had, you know, some success. I mean, 2024 was, you know, towards the end of the season and the postseason, obviously that Braves series and the home run. You know, he was the guy. And then Soto comes in and gets quad X's money and gets a suite for his family and all of these things. And I think that from that standpoint, things were icy to begin with.
Yeah, the extra stuff erodes the internal team camaraderie. Now, the salary is one thing. Every player should be rooting for every other player to get as much money as he possibly can because, you know, rising tide raises all boats. That thought process. Yeah. So as far as, you know, if I were a baseball player, I'd want Shohei Ohtani making $700 million. I want Juan Soto pushing it to $765. You know, obviously, if I'm an owner for a small market team, I don't want to see those numbers. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have a lockout. But as far as the perks go, that's what erodes the team concept. You know, A-Rod could stay at a suite at the Four Seasons while the rest of the team is staying at the Westin. You know, that kind of crap.
Yeah,
And it never works, and it always creates a divisive nature within the clubhouse.
Yeah, and baseball is the most individual of the team sports, and that's what's also fascinating to me about this, is like we're not talking about a center fielder and a left fielder or a shortstop and a second baseman. You're talking about an outfielder and a shortstop. And
they make a combined $1 billion.
I mean, they really don't have to deal with each other all that much. Like, one of them needs to emerge as a leader, I'm sure, because of the money that they make and the expectations that they have. But, I mean, this is not a pitcher and a catcher. It really doesn't make any sense. And the fact that no one's been able to get a handle on this to the point that even as recently as this June, a guy who came in here for 5 minutes in Freddie Peralta feels the urge, because the relationship is so bad, to have a meeting between the two of them?
You know, giving Juan Soto a suite gave the Yankees the out. We don't do that for teams. We don't do that for players. We pay players, and we want you to wear the Yankee uniform and be a Yankee. That's it. The Mets, because they felt like they had to sweeten the deal, give him this suite deal, if you will, and then all of a sudden now it's going to erode at the substance of what a team is supposed to be. That you are treating him differently than you're treating everybody else, and you're also paying him twice as much as me. And he can't afford a suite himself? You know, I mean, I don't know what other perks are in that contract, but baseball has this habit and has had this habit of doing this throughout the years. And this is what happens when you have people like Steve Cohen who have no idea how to run a team.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear. And he came in guns a-blazing, and everybody was fired up about it. He does invest in the team. He does care about the team winning, but he has not been the guy that we thought we were getting when it came to a real leader, owner, buck stops here. I mean, I feel like maybe Alex is even more so that than Steve is.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!